Amen. What a privilege to be in the house of God again with God's people. Let's turn to Mark 11. Appreciate the thoughts already this morning of putting our trust in God. I want to draw from a few of the Gospels on the subject, the aspect of faith this morning, and then we want to go through, tie that into our prayer life, and then eventually end up in Hebrews 11, where it talks of the people that were with the hall of faith, you could say. So this morning, as we were singing, as we were worshiping, I just thought of, you know, where is my faith? Where is our faith? Is our faith in God alone, or is it like Elmer read? Is it in man? Is our confidence in man? I think what you were trying to say, Elmer, and I appreciated those thoughts, is ultimately we walk together. We're God's people. We're a family. We need to walk together. We need to, at some point, there is a trust level between us. There is something built between us that's put there by God. But ultimately, our faith is not in each other. Our faith is in God. Our trust, our ultimate trust, is in the Lord Jesus and Him alone. So as we look at the subject of faith, you know, we can ask ourselves the question, we have faith in this God Almighty, the God of the Creator, the God of heaven, the God eternal, the one that takes it on even after our breath stops. That's who we're putting our faith in. And in Mark 11, I want to just draw this out of this chapter. We're going to go 11 to 14, then also 19 to 26. Okay. Mark 11, verse 11 says, "And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply, or perhaps, he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. He was talking to the tree. And his disciples heard it. Now jumping down to verse 19. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." I'd just like to preface this short time that I want to just share this you know, on the aspect of faith. I do appreciate this morning very much that I'm with a group that prays. I do count it a privilege to be a part of your lives and that you pray about everything. And there is no doubt, I look around and there is no doubt that God is answering prayer. And that to me is faith building, to be with a group of people. So I'd just like to preface that. I'm here to share to encourage us in a further way. in an even further way. But it's a privilege to be with a group of people, with a family that prays. But here in Mark 11, in verse 14, just want to go back to that. Well, let's go back to 13. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves. Now, what I understand is he came up on this tree, he found it, and it had nothing but leaves. And the time of the Passover, I think, was around April, March or April, something like that. And this thing was at least supposed to have buds, that there would be, it would show that there was going to be a fruit coming. And then later on, a couple months later, you have the figs. The fruit comes. And he saw that this tree was basically useless. And he was hungry. And he cursed it. He said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And you would say, why would he do that? But I guess what I drew out of this is, a couple weeks ago, we were praying in the city for walking the streets and praying in the city for the trafficking situation, and, you know, meeting people and sharing with them and so forth. And I just had to think to myself, what is it? What is it going to take for this to change? How, when something is dead, something is not going to bring life, how will that change? By praying. And I looked at this, actually this was before we went, but I looked at this before we went into the city. But so Jesus spoke to the tree apparently the day before, and he cursed it. And the next morning, they were going out of the city. I'm sorry, they were coming in, and Peter looked at the tree and he said, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withered away." And I this was so encouraging, this thought. I thought to myself, you know, the moment he spoke to that tree, the life went out of it. Can we somehow in our minds believe that we pray to a God that hears us? We pray to a God that immediately, well, he already knows everything in our heart. He already knows that. But can we agree and believe that the moment we pray, God hears us, and he's immediately in action when our trust is in him, when our trust is in God? Jesus spoke, and this tree, immediately the life started going out of it. And it's like, you know, you walk along. I know these are plastic. You know, these, no matter what I say, they probably won't get any life. But, and we've never watered them. But he spoke to these. He spoke to the tree, and immediately the life started going out of it. And to me, as I thought of that aspect of God, when he speaks, it happens. It comes to fulfillment. And when God, and when we pray to God, can we believe that immediately he hears our prayer? And just think of something, some of your needs. Many. But just think of some of them. Maybe someone you're praying for that's lost. Maybe there's something physical that you're praying for. Maybe there's something that needs life in your heart. God to take that out and give you life. Can we believe that God hears that based on what we just read? So Peter remembered, and he's like, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." He's like, look at this, Jesus. This thing here actually obeyed you. Right? The life is gone. It's dried up from the roots. And Jesus, look at that thing. It's dying. It's withered away. And what did Jesus respond with? He said, "Peter, have faith in God. Don't put your faith in what you see. Have faith in God." And that's what I'd like to encourage us with this morning is, when we come into situations, can we remember these four words? Or whatever we're praying for this morning, have faith in God. He's the one that is going to give it to us. He's the one that hears us. He's the one that knows everything about us. And but it was amazing to me that he took the time to curse the tree because it was useless and he was hungry. And it took the life out of it. It emphasizes the power of true faith, faith in his God. Just a couple notes there on that verse, verse 22. How can I have faith in someone I don't know well? And why don't I know him well? Am I praying? Have I prayed? Verse 23. Again, back to the question, can we believe God that he will immediately answer that prayer or start to answer that prayer? It apparently went a half a day maybe until they saw the tree and then the evidence was there that it wasn't going to bring fruit anymore. But he said it without doubt. For verily I say unto you, Jesus said to him, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, take those two words, not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Wow. These are words in red. This is what Jesus is saying. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, not if we pray, when we pray, do we pray? What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. How is our prayer life this morning? I'm encouraging us together. I preface this by saying I'm blessed to be with a group that prays. But how is our prayer life? Do we believe? Do we have faith in this God that we serve? And he goes on in verse 25 and he says, here it is again, and when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. So it starts with not doubting, deals with unbelief. And so I think it's really important this morning that we go back to that verse 22 and have faith in God so that we don't doubt when we pray, when we stand praying. Let's just flip over to Matthew 21 a little bit. It expresses that doubt that wants to come in and take away our belief and our faith in Christ, our faith in God. 21, let's go to verse 17, I think it is. This is an account, the same account here. That's later on. We're going to go to another part of Matthew. And he left them, starting in verse 17, and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as they returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done unto the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Hallelujah. there's a condition there. He's asking us to pray. Verse 19. You know, I basically Jesus is saying, if you're going to be a fig tree, then you should really be one. I guess there was no life. There was no use for that tree. It was not producing what it was meant for. And in verse 22, asking in prayer, believing. Now, again, you could say, well, I believe because of my prior experience, or I believe because of another experience. And we can't get away from experiences. Those are important. And those build faith. They do. Answered prayer builds faith. But we've got to be careful we don't have faith. We don't have faith in our faith. He's saying, have faith in God. Believe in God. Believe in me. Put your faith in me, but not believing in your faith that you have. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And so I want to bring out 3 points. Is the first one is, why do we pray? How do we pray? How often should we pray? So why do we pray is the first one. Prayer is our line of communication with the Lord. Communication with the Father, the one who's in control, the creator of all things. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Then he says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And so he's saying, cast all your worries. You want peace with God. Cast all your worries. Cast everything, all your cares upon the Lord. And we have many, right? We have sometimes it just gets heavy. Our cares just weigh us down. And all of a sudden we find ourselves getting discouraged. Or maybe even depressed. And he's saying, cast your cares on me. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Can we just make a commitment here? From here forward, we're going to pray about everything. I talked to a man recently. This is in the business world, but I was so encouraged. A man I met, didn't know him very long, and don't know where he is today, but this spoke to me. He said, my wife and I, we pray about everything. We pray about everything. I don't do anything unless I pray. And it was so encouraging to me, and I'm challenged with it. But let's be encouraged this morning to give everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, no matter what it is. Some things are hard. Some things are tough to walk through. But we give God the glory, and through that, He'll work it out for our own good. Give our burdens daily on the Lord. Why? So now we don't have to carry it anymore. We have responsibilities. We have duties that'll never go away unless we become slothful and lazy. But I think it gets heavy sometimes, but can we partner with God and have faith in God with these things as well as our spiritual things? Imagine if there was someone who would take your load. We have seasons of busyness. Imagine if we could partner up with God and give Him some of that load. And pray about it. Lord, is this really of you? We live in a prosperous area. We live in an area where people are very resourceful, and I thank God for that. We are privileged to be in an area like we are. But then we have the tendency to fill our schedules full. But I'm convinced it's not a Lancaster County thing. I talked to a man recently from North Carolina, and I was asking him, you know, how he, if he is an older man, and he said, I said, how would you advise you're a little older, you're down the road, your children are, you're almost empty nesters, how would you advise our family in the season that we're in? And he asked me a question back by saying, he said, how do you keep your schedule open? And I said to him, I said, you're from North Carolina, you should be telling me. He said, that doesn't have anything to do with it. And I thought to myself, you know what? It comes down to each one of us committing our schedules to the Lord. And area doesn't have anything to do with it. You can be in across the water. If that's your tendency, then that's who you'll be and that's what you'll have. My wife usually tells me, she says, now you have 24 hours in a day. It's all yours. You can do with it whatever you want. And she's right. God help us. Let's pray about our schedules, pray about everything, and have full assurance and confidence when we pray to God. So Paul says in Philippians there, he says, stop worrying about your problems. Commit them to God in prayer, and he'll deliver you. Psalm 40, verse 1 and 2, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, heard my cry. And we're talking about why do we pray? He brought me also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. So we can come to him as we labor and are heavy laden. He'll give us rest. But we can call, we can cry, we can seek, we can beseech him. I just want to go back to Isaiah 55 a little bit, just looking at the aspect of why do we pray. Verses 6 to 9, he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So, our faith, why do we pray? Our faith cannot grow unless we pray. And could it be our faith becomes weak because we're not praying? How do we What's first? But could it be our faith is weak because we're not praying? Could it be that when we, in our weak moments, today we could be strong. I look at Elijah, the story of Elijah. Amazing victory. You know, and he ran down off of that mountain and he ran ahead of the chariots. And the next day he's sitting under a juniper tree, depressed, and asking God to take his life, to take him home. But God wouldn't honor it. God answered his prayer, but he said no. So I think we're starting to see Jesus is right. He will answer everything that we pray. But it may not be a yes. We would like it to be a yes or a no, or the way that we want it, but he answers our prayer in the way that he sees fit. So could it be that our faith has grown weak because of not praying? Or when we pray, does it increase our faith? Or could it be my lack of praying? Could I be saying to the Lord, I don't quite trust, I can't rely, I'm not sure if I want to lean on you, and then we wonder why we're not revived. What is happening that I don't feel refreshed? So back to the verse in Philippians, he says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Basically, shall guard your heart, your mind, through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Prayer eliminates discouragement. give everything by prayer and supplication. Our cares will bog us down. We will have them, but we can give them to God. So when we pray, our dependence is on Him. Our faith then will grow. Our faith will increase. And that's why we pray. How do we pray? We're going to go back to Matthew 6, 9 to 13. And this is Jesus' illustration. He was giving them a structure to pray. He says, verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And in verse 9, it tells us our approach to the Father with reverence and adoration. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. And then verse 10 tells us to put God's will first. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Verse 11, we have daily needs, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Meet our daily needs. Verse 12, a plea for forgiveness. A reminder we also need to forgive others. And in verse 13, we're asking God for protection to deliver us from evil. That's a huge one. Our faith in God depends how much we'll be tormented by the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, acknowledging his power, his glory, his protection. And the Lord's Prayer reminds us that he longs for communication. So how do we pray? It's more than just Sunday or Wednesday evening or prayer meeting. It's much, much more than that. We saw already that when you stand praying, when you pray, but wherever we are, whatever our need is, Jesus taught us to pray this way. And he also knew that if we pray, it's also going to change us for his glory. So it's not really a form that matters. It's more the sincerity of our heart that we're coming to God. Lord, I'm acknowledging you. This is my need. It's like a friend coming to a friend, Lord, or a friend coming to a friend and saying, listen, I need help here. Can I share with you? That does something for us. And that's what he's longing for. He's just longing for communication. And we call it pray, right? We call that pray. Pray to God. But just come to God and say, I have this need. I don't know what to do with. I have a decision to make next week by such and such. Can you help me with this? Can you show me? Can you give me wisdom? I have a happening that happened in my life, and I can't hardly take it. There's a loss that took place, and I can't hardly take it. Can you help me? Can you be there for me? I know this is probably easier said than done, but I'm encouraging us this morning to trust God, to put our faith in God. So it's not really a form, it's a it's just a very important element of a believer's life, a believer in Jesus Christ. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to go to James a little bit. How do we pray? James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. There's another one, asking God. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Wow. We need wisdom. All we need wisdom. And he says, if we ask, let him ask. And he says, he doesn't say just, if Ryan asks for wisdom, if Mel asks or Sim asks for wisdom, these three men, if in case they ask for wisdom, give it to him liberally. He doesn't say that. He says, if any of us ask for wisdom, I'll give it however much you want. No limits, no boundaries, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. But what's the condition? What's the condition, Ryan? Asking. Asking. Who are we asking? We're asking God. Put your faith in God. And then verse, tying in with that, James 4, 3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. You forgot about God. You forgot to ask Him. You forgot to go to Him because you're so consumed with yourself that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. You forgot that you didn't think about Him. You forgot to ask Him. Yeah, but I'm struggling. Ask Him. Ask Him. Pray to Him. So you're not consumed upon your own lusts. Well, I'm not sure if I want to because I'm not sure how He's going to answer it. You're consumed upon your own lusts. Well, what if He does? What if He answers it totally different than my expectation? What if He takes everything away that I have? What if? You're consumed upon your own lusts. And that's why we didn't ask. And you cannot receive when you ask, when you're consumed upon your own lusts. So it's important that we go to God in prayer unselfishly. I'm cruising around this morning, so just bear with me. I'm going to go to Matthew 6 again. But I'm just trying to bring, how do we pray? How do we pray? Matthew 6, 5 to 8. Jesus says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt be not as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And basically their only reward is being honored by man. And here gives a picture of being consumed with their own lusts. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him. Praise the Lord. Sitting here this morning, our God knows already what we have need of before we open our mouth and tell Him. But He wants us to ask Him so He can receive, so we can receive. Matthew 7, 7 and 8 says, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Three different ways we can seek the Lord. We can spend time with the Lord. And everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So how do we learn to pray? We saw the aspect of asking. We saw the aspect of when we pray. We learn. I don't know anything different than to tell you this morning. This is my little bit of wisdom. I don't know how to tell you to come to prayer or to learn prayer, but by praying. How do we learn to pray? We learn to pray by praying. That's just my little bit of wisdom. We learn it by praying. I thought of these elements is we don't know what water is. We don't know what, okay, we know, we see it, right? We see the water, but what is it? What is, we can break it down, right? We know the scientific part of it, right? But what is it? How does it work? How does it really come about? Or electricity, how did they harness that? What is it? What is that traveling through the wires that lights the lights this morning and runs the fans and runs the sound? What is gravity? What is light? What is fire? What enables me to stand on my feet? What is it that keeps me on my feet? And there's just some things we don't understand, but we use them. We take the opportunity to use them. And I've wondered how many times when we talk about prayer, how many times do we take prayer and use it to the fullest? Because we can look throughout Scripture and he says, when ye pray, and when ye pray standing. And we know that this enables us to walk with God. And so my encouragement is that we would embrace that, the praying, so we can learn of God and we can discover who he is in bigger and better ways. So we see the terms in Scripture, when we pray, but by prayer. And he also says, call, ask, cry. There's different. So what position is praying? I've seen many. It just depends on the condition of the heart, the condition of the individual seeking God. Okay, moving on. How often should we pray? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, there's just a little verse with three words, says, pray without ceasing. Continuously, keeping the lines open, the communication lines open. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It gives the idea of staying disciplined in prayer. Praying always with prayer. Pray without ceasing. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So it gives the idea of discipline in prayer and praying for others regularly. Praying regularly requires discipline, but I think we grow in it. When we position ourselves in prayer, we can grow in that. So, like I said before, we move with each other, we interact, and we communicate, and so it is with the Lord. When we communicate with him daily, continuously, without ceasing, then he becomes our guide. He becomes our daily provision that we need. And quite honestly, I think if we would be in prayer more, we'd find ourselves more confident like Christ, where there's no doubting. There's just, you know what, Lord, it's up to you, but I'm going to ask for it. I'm going to ask for this person to be healed or to be saved. I'm just going to ask you, and I know you can do it because I know what you can do, with no doubting. I think I had a scripture in mind. I think I'm going to just let it go, but I didn't write it down, but I studied it. There was this boy that was demon possessed in one of the Gospels. I think it may be Matthew, maybe Luke, but he was demon possessed, and the disciples, they couldn't do anything with it. And Jesus comes over and he casts out the demon, and he left. And he said to, and they were like amazed, like, Lord, you actually did that? You that's amazing. You did that. And he reminded, he said, this kind comes not out but by much prayer and fasting. So There is prayer that's invested into everything, or should be invested into everything that we ask for. That kind doesn't come out except by much prayer and fasting. When we seek guidance daily, we won't easily stray from His will and the path He has set for us. His will becomes mine. Thy will be done, like we heard earlier. So pray about everything. In everything give thanks. How often should we pray? Stop and pray for others as a need arises. In your praying, I forget who says this, but he says, in your praying, pray. And it's the idea of interceding. Like you start praying. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. But you start praying and all of a sudden you find yourself praying in your prayer. Like going deeper into prayer. Because there's a burden that comes on your heart. There's a burden that all of a sudden grips you. And you realize that this person needs to be set free. This individual has this need. And Lord, you're the only one that can provide this need. And I know you can do it because you've done it many times before for others. Deliver them, Lord. Set them free. Save them. And you find yourself praying in your prayer. Prayer is our breath of life as a Christian. It's the very thing that helps us breathe in this Christian life. It is what helps us function with God and to walk with Him effectively. And so we looked at faith. We've been talking about how we should, why do we pray? How often do we pray? And why do we pray? How do we pray? And how often should we pray? We've been looking at those aspects and just want to tie that in with faith a little bit. When good things in life come, will I still pray? Will my faith continue to grow? When good things happen in my life, will my faith still continue to grow? I can honestly say it's harder. It's a little bit harder when things are going well, that my faith grows as fast as it does when I'm in a deep struggle or a deep, maybe not even a struggle, maybe a test, a trial. When tests come, will I by faith trust Him? Will I still believe my God does all things well? And so in other words, if our faith fails, we'll start doubting. And that's an awful place to be. When your faith starts doubting, you start doubting things. We're going to see a little bit later that when we doubt, it displeases God. And I'm not trying to make us like grit our teeth this morning. I go back to the four words and say, have faith in God. He's your sustainer. We're just His instruments. We're just His vessels. But we can trust in Him to be in control of our vessels. Our beings. So even the demons believed and trembled, but they never trusted in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God or even trust in Him. Without faith, it's hard to pray. It's really hard to pray for something when you don't have faith for it. Recently, I thought of this, the lady, Joni Erickson Tada, the one that ended up in a wheelchair from an accident. And she's just a testimony of faith in God. Our neighbor is involved with her wheelchair effort in China. So if you're in China and you have a mental condition or maybe you could say a chemical imbalance, or something, you're not quite with it. you're mentally challenged. You basically get put in like a prison cell. This is what he was telling me. Because there's no value to that human. They're trying to build humans that have value, that are smart, that are productive in the corporate world, and they're trying to, it's almost like, you know, you try to get a good breed of horses or cattle, whatever animal you want. That's what they try to do. So there's no value in that human anymore. And they lock him in a room, and he said, especially even the disabled, they're walking around with walkers, you know, like Levina uses. They're walking around with these canes, and they put them in a cell, and they slide the food under the door, and that's all they know. And eventually, they're so mentally challenged that they just go insane. They lose their mind. And there's no one there to witness to them. But my neighbor is doing, it's through through Johnny Erickson. He's working with this group where they send container loads of wheelchairs over, canes and walkers and things of that sort. And they're going in there voluntarily. And they're giving these wheelchairs and these canes and so forth to these individuals. And that's their route in. And while they're setting up the wheelchair, they share the gospel with them. And he said it is unbelievably rewarding. Here's one of my customers, 50-year-old man, standing in front of me just weeping. Can't wait to go back. He said the first time when you spend time with those people, they just can't believe it, first of all, that they're actually present with a human. And secondly, you're setting the wheelchair up. All the time you're expressing care, you're expressing love, and then you share the gospel with them. And he said they always receive Jesus into their heart. And I look back and I thought about this is, Joni Erickson could have got discouraged and did like Elijah, went under the juniper tree and just said, Lord, I'm worthless. I'm never going to amount to anything. And by the way, if you ever believe that, that's a lie from the pits of hell. You are worth something through Jesus Christ. But here she rose up and had faith in God. And look how this is one avenue, just one avenue that God is using her to get the gospel into all nations. And I was amazed when I thought of what her faith in God did and how that propelled her. So consider yourself blessed this morning. You have a body that's functioning. You have a body that you can use your limbs. Use it for the glory of God. There's many things, there's many vacuums that'll try to suck you away. But you have a responsibility before the Lord. And one of them is, this morning that we're talking about, is we can pray. We can discipline ourselves before God and position ourselves and pray. I mentioned Elijah wanted to die. Paul had a thorn. God never, it was an affliction. He never took it away that I know of. Moses prayed that he could go to Canaan. God said, no, you won't go in there. But he answered his prayer. And Elijah wanted to die, and God said, no, not yet. He answered his prayer. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Okay, I'm going to, as we go through this, I want to just look at this. This is a very familiar chapter, and it's a longer chapter, but I want to just read it. As we go through it, think about what we're reading. This here really is a chapter of man's weakness and God's strength. Just watch this. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that pleased God. Wow. And these are all men that were flesh and blood. These men did not, most of them did not have an easy life. But this is what it says in the Bible about them. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things yet not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should go after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, in multitude as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heaven, that is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he receiveth him in a figure. That's amazing. Abraham took a risk, or you could say that way in the natural, I guess, but he took a chance, and he was committed to killing his son. But by faith, he did that, knowing that God had gave him a promise. He'd given him a promise before. When we look back on our lives, let's not forget the promises that God gave us. Even if it looks impossible, if you're faced with something from here on out that God is asking you to do that contradicts what God had told you before, believe in his promises. He had told him that his nochkomene, his generations after him, are going to be like the stars in the sky. Now he's taking his only son. He could have said, "No, Lord, you promised me Isaac, and I'm just going to stay at home." So an encouragement to us. Let's believe the promises. He believed that he could raise him from the dead because he was a promised son. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Wow, that takes courage. For he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and of David and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of the lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. What a picture of trust in God. We just got through talking about the faith that is in these men. Now it's explaining a little bit what happened. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. But then he says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should be made perfect. And so we see that faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. And through that we can be made perfect, we can be made complete, and all the promises of God are for us. They're waiting for the believers, and by faith we walk in them and trust in God. Not necessarily because we're perfect, but that we're made perfect by God when we believe in Him through faith. So if there's anything in your life today that you know is not perfect, put your faith in Him and He'll make that perfect. He'll complete it for you as you trust in Him. Faith is praying to a God you don't always see, but also believing in God by faith, trusting in God. So my encouragement to us today, just in closing here, is like Jesus said to Peter, the final words for this morning are, as you leave from here, 4 words, have faith in God. Have faith in God. God bless you.